Good morning and welcome to worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church. This Sunday, we join with Christians all over the world and through thousands of years in beginning a new year, a year of remembering the story that is central to our faith, the story of how God became a human being and reached out to us when we could not reach out to him. I'd like to ask you to get out your Sing the Story books and turn to song number 3, Come Light of the World, and then please stand for the call to worship. We'll sing the song immediately after the call to worship. The Lord said, "The time is coming when I will fulfill the promise that I made to the people of Israel and Judah."
Llegará el día, dice el Señor, cuando haré por Israel y por Judá todas las cosas buenas que les he prometido.
A shoot shall come from the stump of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots.
De ese tronco que es Isaí sale un retoño. Un retoño brota de sus raíces.
Jerusalem will be called "The Lord is our salvation."
Jerusalén será su nombre. El Señor es nuestra justicia.
We'll sing the hymn 3 times. The first time with the text, "Come Light of the World." The second time with the title at the top of our bulletin, Advent 1, "New Life from the Stump." And then coming back to "Come Light of the World." Just turn back a page to number 1, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness. And please take out your bulletin insert for the next hymn, A Weary Couple.
Please join me now in a time of confession. The words for our confession today are Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift my heart. My God, in you I trust. Let me not be shamed. Let my enemies not gloat over me. Yes, let all who hope in you not be shamed. Let the treacherous be shamed, empty-handed. Your ways, O Lord, inform me. Your paths instruct me. Lead me in your truth and instruct me, for you are the God of my rescue. In you do I hope every day. I recall your mercies, O Lord, and your kindnesses. They are forever. My offenses and my crimes recall not. In your kindness, recall me, you, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he guides offenders on the way. He teaches the lowly in justice, and teaches the lowly his ways. All the Lord's paths are kindness and truth for the keepers of his pact and his precepts. For the sake of your name, O Lord, may you forgive my crime, which is great. Whosoever fears the Lord, he will guide him the way that he should choose. Their life will repose in bounty, and their seed will inherit the earth. The Lord's counsel is for those who fear him, and his pact he makes known to them. My eyes at all times to the Lord, for he draws my feet from the net. Turn to me and grant me grace, for alone and afflicted am I. The distress of my heart has grown great, for my straits bring me out. See my affliction and suffering, and forgive all my offenses. See my enemies, who are many, and with outrageous hatred despise me. Guard my life and save me. Let me not be shamed, for I shelter in you. May uprightness, wholeness preserve me, for in you do I hope. Redeem God, Israel, from all its straits. We are assured that God does not delight in the death of the wicked, and that God seeks truth and justice. And in that assurance, we can rise and greet each other in the name of our Savior Jesus and say, "The peace of the Lord be with you." Let's greet each other in the Lord. I'd like to call the children forward. Carolyn Gardner Hunt has our children's time.
I'm going to pass around our offering basket, and our offering this quarter is going to a mission project in Ecuador. And I want to tell the children to, in Sunday school, we're going to learn some things about Ecuador today, so I hope that you will come and do that with us. And if you don't have money, you can just bless the basket as it goes by, and God will take the money and those blessings and send them to our friends in Ecuador. So I wanted to show you something about this picture today. I'm going to look at it on the screen back there, and you can look at it on the screen in front, okay? Yeah, it is. It's a tree. It might have ants in it. Yeah. Is it a whole tree or is it part of a tree?
Part of a tree.
Okay, what part?
The base.
The stump. Right. Silas John, we have another kind of a stump here, don't we? They do look really similar. So I wanted to tell you, we had a tree like this in my neighborhood. Our neighbors had one, and it looked like it was kind of sick and dying, so the city came and cut it down. And then after they cut off the top of the tree, all these little sprouts came out of the base. Because we thought it was dead, but it wasn't. There was still life in it. We just couldn't see it. And that's what this is, new life coming out of that stump. I wasn't sure. I know, I thought it was dead, but it wasn't. Who makes trees? God. We have smart children here today. Sometimes things that we think are dead, God knows better, and God has other plans, and things that might look hopeless to us. Yeah, sometimes God will make it grow again. And you heard we had a Bible verse about a branch growing out of a strong root. It's connected to the root. So I want you to remember, things that we might think are done and finished or dead, God knows better, and God may have different plans. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for these children. Their happy faces and their ideas and their words and smiles and their faith in you. Bless the children, keep them safe this week, and bless the grown-ups that bring them to hear your word. Amen.
Our scripture readings today are from the book of Jeremiah and from the Gospel of Luke. From Jeremiah 33. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David. And he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness.
Vamos a leer de Jeremías 33, 14 al 16. Vienen días que yo confirmaré las buenas promesas que he hecho a la casa de Israel y a la casa de Judá. Cuando llegue el día y el momento, haré que de David surja un renuevo de justicia que impondrá la justicia y el derecho en la tierra. En esos días Judá será salvo y Jerusalén habitará segura y será llamado El Señor es nuestra justicia.
From the Gospel of Luke. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and on earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near.
Lucas capítulo 21, 25 al 28, que dice así: Habrá entonces señales en el sol, en la luna y en las estrellas. En la tierra la gente se angustiará y quedará confundida por causa del bramido del mar y de las olas. El miedo y la expectación de las cosas que sobrevendrán en la tierra hará que los hombres desfallezcan y los poderes celestiales se estremecerán. Entonces verán al Hijo del Hombre venir en una nube con poder y gran gloria. Cuando esto comience a suceder, anímense y levanten la cabeza porque su redención estará cerca.
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios. Our preacher this Sunday is someone who is very familiar to us, our Pastor Francis. Let's pray for her. Creator God, please bless Francis as she shares your words with us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
In those days, and that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up. In those days, and that time, a branch, God's promise as a branch, something that's living, something that grows. We know that a branch does not exist by itself. We know that a branch has to be attached to a tree. We also know that the fruit of the tree comes from the branch. God's promise as branch, something that's green, something that's sprouting, something that's going to come, and it's associated with salvation, with safety, with righteousness, and with justice. But that is not what Jerusalem looked like in Jeremiah's time. Jeremiah mostly speaks words of doom and fear and condemnation. There have been a series of kings, and they had gone far away from God's intentions, and the people had fallen into patterns of disobedience and unfaithfulness, and Jeremiah was speaking these words of prophecy in the streets, was actually jailed because the king didn't like what he said. He actually prophesied during five different kings. But here in the middle of the longest book in the Bible is a little section that talks about promise and talks about hope. The armies of Nebuchadnezzar were advancing on the city. The kings that had been in the beloved and loved lineage of David had gone down the altar. And it looked like that covenant, that promise about being God's people was dead, obliterated. And soon indeed, the temple would be destroyed, the city would be filled with corpses, the people would be sent into exile, and as final humiliation, the king's eyes would be put out by the enemy. Ground down, obliterated. And yet, these words of Jeremiah have been handed down to the church for generations and for centuries, and are part of the texts that we use for this Advent Sunday. And they are texts gathered together that all speak of something happening, of something coming.
The house of David might be cut down, but a branch will sprout. Something to cling to, even if people had no idea what it meant. The future was a ragged, broken-off stump. These words joined other prophetic words and built an image of something coming, eventually taking the shape in the minds of the people as the Messiah. Someone who would throw out the stinking occupiers whoever they happened to be at that time. And this would have to be a strong, powerful, fruitful leader to finally set the word right. In this Advent season, we celebrate the baby, the Messiah, the Son of God. But this righteous branch did not look like what people expected. In fact, many still wait for that Messiah. But this image becomes one of the holy texts we read, calling us to recognize God's presence, God's coming in the past, in the future, and I suggest today. One of the other texts of the season comes from 1 Thessalonians. It wasn't read today, but we'll talk about it a little bit here. We're used to picking up our New Testaments and looking at them from front to back, and it makes a lot of sense because we have the Gospels at the beginning, and then we have the letters, the epistles, which describe the life of the church after Jesus came. But in fact, and sometimes it's helpful to remember this, the letters were written first. And in fact, Thessalonians is considered to be one of the earliest letters. Thessaloniki was a seaport. It was a trade center. It was a pagan city. Now, since Jeremiah's time and the exile, the Jewish people had sort of reassembled, but were still living under oppression. Romans now. The destroyed temple had been rebuilt. There were priests in place, Sadducees, Pharisees, scribes, and the common folk, all trying to hold it together. And there was still talk of a Messiah. In fact, many so-called Messiahs did in fact come, but not much came of it. But there amongst those towns in that part of the country and in Thessalonica, there had been a disruption. A strange prophet, finally crucified, like the others, but there was talk of resurrection. And there were followers, one of whom, extremely unlikely, was a devout and passionate Pharisee, somehow converted, who then went town to town, coming eventually to Thessalonica. Paul, a Pharisee, once deeply committed to eliminating Christians, had become passionate about launching and nourishing new Christian house churches. Do you think that might have something to do with that righteous branch sprouting? A small church grew in Thessaloniki, a small sprout. And it began by Paul arriving in the synagogue and preaching there. And some of the folks in the synagogue were persuaded. But it was a great number of Greeks and not a few of the leading women who finally became that worshiping community. It's an odd mix, the branch growing in unexpected ways. So many of the other Jews in the synagogue became concerned and jealous, and a mob formed and set the city in an outroar, and Paul had to flee. But he cared deeply about that little church and kept in touch and wrote. And so this formerly legalistic, fervent, even rabid enforcer of the law now begins to sound a little bit like a hovering mother tenderly encouraging this small group of believers. They were worried because they had heard that Jesus would return. And they were worried because some among them were dying and Jesus hadn't returned yet. It was a matter of great concern. And so this is how Paul prays for them. He sends this prayer to them. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with his saints. Jesus would come with all the saints and set the world right. It just wasn't happening that way now, but there were instructions for how to live. Those instructions were for them and for us. Paul promised the dead in Christ would be raised, but for now, be busy your ordinary tasks. The coming of kingdom, the coming of Christ, was about how you live right now. And so the many small churches persisted, waiting for Jesus, and years went by. People continued to die, and it became clear that a record must be kept of all that Jesus said, much of which, was challenging and hard to understand exactly. These words from Luke: there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and the stars, and on earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. How many of you remember reading these as children or hearing these as children and finding it very frightening? How many find it frightening today still? They were written by Luke, who of all things was someone who never knew Jesus. But he was fascinated by the story. At the beginning of the gospel, it says, "I have carefully investigated everything from the beginning." Evidence of the branch. But in that reading, there's also the portion where Jesus goes ahead and says, "When these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Our stance is not to cower and hide at these dreadful words, but to stand up, open up, raise our heads. We hear the scary part, but Jesus said, it's good news. In fact, some say that this was written right after the destruction of Jerusalem, or perhaps right before the destruction of Jerusalem, and these words would actually refer to that event. But I think we have no shortage of scary events today. And for those that read this gospel, preached this gospel, and passed it on as good news, there must have been other voices that said, "Hey, haven't you noticed? The temple's been destroyed. Jerusalem, the holy city, is sacked. It's over. Don't you get it? It's over. No Jesus, no kingdom. Give it up." A city and a world of broken stumps. But among those broken stumps, something entirely different happened. Ask Alan Kreider. He's written about what happened after the fall of Jerusalem. Underground, vibrant counterculture communities, people of huge hope, people launching a church community which lasts to this day. Yes, there have been detours along the way. But here we are, reading the scriptures, seeking to hear what they have to say for us, holding up our own beliefs, still seeking safety, salvation, righteousness, and justice. Years, generations have passed, and still no Jesus. Or Has Jesus been here all along? Jesus is not off drifting somewhere in the sky waiting to come. There may well be, and we anticipate such an event. But Jesus is not gone. This week, our Prairie Street friend, Regina Shan Stolzfus, wrote about this Luke text for the Goshen College Advent Devotions. And Regina put it together this way. And I believe that Jesus speaks into the anguish and fear and uncertainty, not with a warning of coming terror, but as a way to remind us who we are. When you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Remember, God is always with you. Do not be anxious, but instead work at doing the things that make for peace. In these days, don't hide yourself. In these days, don't run for cover. In these days, shine forth with the love of the Creator of the universe and offer your hand to the ones who need it. Open your heart for those that need love. Stand in solidarity with those who are marginalized and abused. The kingdom of God is near, and you are part of it. The righteous branch, the work of the branch, the people of the branch. We are inheritors of the words of Jeremiah and the prophets. We believe ourselves to have connection to those first churches, Thessalonica and others. And along with the rest of the body of Christ, we treasure the words of the Gospels, even the hard ones and the strange ones, speaking to us in one way or another of the coming of something, the arriving. These scriptures today are for preparing to receive the righteous branch, Jesus, to follow in his steps, to hear his teaching from birth to ministry to resurrection to being the church. Being among those who believe deeply that these are the words of God for us. And indeed, this Jesus, this Christ, this Son of God will return in all that was intended by Jeremiah and even before him and all the way through history will truly come to pass. Like a branch sprouting, like a fig tree leafing. But most of all, we believe that this coming is here, now, today, and we watch for the branch in our own lives. And so we do these things. We read the texts. We light candles. We anticipate and mark the birth of Emmanuel, God with us, Son of David, restoring the lineage. We tell the story of how the baby was born in a small place under very difficult circumstances in a broken world, a world of stumps. And then we hold that story together with our own broken world, our own world filled with fear and uncertainty and despair, including our own quiet interior despairs and losses. But we believe that the branch is sprouting, flourishing, spreading, often in unexpected ways and places. Advent is about knowing that Christ comes in every moment. Every moment is a second coming. Every moment the realm of God draws near. And we need to watch. We need to watch together, and we need to watch on each other's behalf, encouraging, pointing out the growth, the sprout. And whatever is truly and completely wrong with the world, and whatever is broken in our own lives, does not negate this message, this coming, but makes it more precious, more important. So let us all come to Advent. Let us come together. Let us come with hope. Let us watch the light growing in the stump. And this is hope that is not only ours, but hope that has been held by the people of God for all generations, throughout all times, and in all lands. Hope that is shared with neighbor and, yes, hope that spills over to our engagement with enemies. Hope that stands strong in the face of fear and terrorism and discrimination and loss. And even when our experiences seem to be stumps and brokenness and decay, we remember we are people of the branch, the righteous branch, the living God, our Savior. Amen.
Please turn in blue hymnal to number 172, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. We'll sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 6. Please stand.
Thank you.
Please come and join us down the stairs for coffee and fellowship. And there are Sunday school classes for children and adults. Details are in your bulletin with topics and locations. Now receive the benediction. May God, who makes all things new, dwell among us and give us life. Amen.